If you have your Bibles, will you turn to Romans chapter 3 and verse 20? I'm speaking on a word tonight, a word that means full knowledge. The word gnosis is a word that is familiar in philosophy for the Gnostic opinions, but this is an intensified form, epignosis in the Greek. It occurs 15 times in the New Testament. There are only 5 other references in the whole New Testament, but those 15 are all in Romans. Paul is burdened that we have full knowledge about certain key things, and he uses that term very deliberately and again. Now that tells us this is something very important that the apostle considered we should know these things, that our faith might be grounded on the solid rock. In Romans 3:20, Paul says, "Therefore, by the deeds of the law, there shall no flesh be justified in his sight, for by the law is the knowledge of sin." The full knowledge of sin. Now that's very interesting. In verse 19, he has said, "We know that what things soever the law saith, it saith to them who are under the law, that every mouth may be stopped, and all the world may become guilty before God." Now that is exactly what the full knowledge of the law does. It proves us condemned, not just once, but again and again and again. You go down the line, someone has said you take the Ten Commandments and you violated them all in heart. Now that's a terrible thing to think of. Full knowledge of sin. Sin is not a minor detail. It is not something that we can shrug off. It is a matter of profound moral importance. And the plain truth of Scripture is, we fall short of what God wants. He brings us to the full knowledge of sin. Now, friends, that is a very deliberate thing in our faith. There are religions that are just a kind of feel-good sort of thing. And unfortunately, some of that has crept into Christianity. There are churches where they sing nothing but little ditties, and everybody is there to feel good, and that's the sum total of what it's all about. And that is not Christianity. That is not biblical faith. Biblical faith is very serious. Full knowledge is what's involved. God wants us to be aware of what life is all about and what Christian character is and what Jesus Christ has done for us. And those are things that demand our attention and difficult study in Scripture. Now, most of my life has been concerned with knowledge. I have for years been a teacher. I have studied Scripture with the idea of learning what is there, that I might have a full knowledge of Scripture. And I've worked on it now many, many years, and I'm still working hard on it every day. The full knowledge is staggering. It is vastly beyond any human being's ability to grasp what is there. I'm still working on it. But I share with you tonight some of the things that I have found in Scripture that to me were very important. In verse 11 of that same chapter, Paul says, "There is none that understandeth. There is none that seeketh after God." Now that is his estimate of all the ability of mankind to reach up and grasp the concept of God and his will and his mercy. There is none that understands. God is so infinite, we can study all our days, and still his infinite nature is staggering beyond our conception. But he has graciously revealed himself in the person of the Lord Jesus. And we can look at the Lord Jesus' life and ministry and death and realize how great God is, that he would send his only begotten Son to die upon the cross to save poor, miserable sinners such as we are. Now, that is something that staggers our understanding. It is something that goes vastly beyond our experience in this world. We don't know love like that here. There isn't any. The best of our human love is but imperfect. But in Christ, there is divine love poured out for us. And when we view that portrait in Scripture, we're seeing what God did for mankind, because he loved us with an everlasting love. The full knowledge of that comes as we meditate upon the Lord Jesus and meditate what he did for poor, miserable sinners. Verse 12 says, they are all gone out of the way. They're together become unprofitable. There is none that doeth good, no, not one. Every human being on the face of the earth has a guilty conscience. Everyone knows he has not done what he should do, and he has done things that he should not have done, and there's no health in him. Now, people deny that. They turn away from it. They're afraid of that idea. But they need to face that, because God knows exactly what the human heart is all about. And we underestimate the sinfulness of our own heart. We are quick to see it in others, but we look away from our own. But God sees it all. No one on the face of the earth is honoring God as he deserves. There's not a dedicated Christian worker any place on earth that has honored God the way he really should. We must recognize that God loves us not because we are so diligent in our work, not because we are so serious in our faith. He loves us because of who he is. He is the God of love. And he loves the unworthy. He loves those that should receive his condemnation. And he sent his Son to redeem us. That is infinite love. And that knowledge should change us. The Bible was written that we might have full knowledge and understand what our life is and what God really is and what our relationship to him should be. In Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 17, Paul says that he is not ceasing to give thanks for the Ephesians, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. The knowledge, full knowledge of him. God does not want us to have just a little bit of understanding of the Lord Jesus. He does not want us to have just the bare minimum of understanding of his word. He wants us to have full knowledge, fully understand what he has done and who the Lord Jesus is. And so he has imparted to his saints the Holy Spirit to communicate to us the full knowledge of him. Now, friends, we must recognize what that amounts to and what that should do to our study of Scripture. But we have not yet absorbed everything that is in Scripture about the Lord Jesus. There is a great deal there yet waiting for us to discover. And we need to search the Scriptures with the same zeal that a person searching for gold in the hills would hunt and dig and struggle to find it. We need to search Scripture that way, seeking determinedly to see what God has said in Scripture about the Lord Jesus Christ. For he is our Lord. The day will come when we will see him face to face. His glory will irradiate our being. And we need to know the one whom we serve and why we serve him, because of who he is. full knowledge of the Lord Jesus, of God. Yes, that's what he opens up before us. It's something that the philosophers have stood in awe of. Who can have such a full knowledge? Only the saints. For it is a divine gift. It is not something you acquire just by study. There are theologians who have technically studied the Word of God and theology for a generation. And they have no knowledge of the Lord Jesus. They have a knowledge of a lot of other theologians and what they have said. They have a knowledge of a lot of books that they have read. But they don't know God. Now I am compelled, because of my tasks, to study theology and read commentaries. And I go through them one book after another. And every so often I find a person who is writing out of fullness of scholarship. And he has all the references and the footnotes and the cross references. And he knows nothing at all about God. From the title of his book, you would think he would. But this is life when some of the most famous theologians on the face of the earth know nothing at all about the true God and have never met the Lord Jesus and have no idea who he really is. In the pages of Scripture, we meet him. In the pages of Scripture, he reveals himself, and we can have full knowledge of him. Knowledge that the Spirit of God imparts to our hearts. Knowledge that is true because it is knowledge of his holy word. And that revelation does not err. It gives us an accurate portrait of the Lord Jesus and the Heavenly Father and the Divine Spirit. And we can have a full knowledge of God that is scriptural. In verse 18, Paul prays, "The eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that ye may know what is the hope of his calling, and what the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints." Yes, that is what the word reveals to us. It opens up the windows of heaven and lets the light shine that we may see the glories that are there and what awaits us in that place by his grace. In verse 19, "And what is the exceeding greatness of his power to usward who believe, according to the working of his mighty power, which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead and set him at his own right hand in the heavenly places." Yes, we see in Scripture the greatness of his power, the greatness of his love, and what he has wrought, worked in Christ to accomplish our salvation. That is an amazing thing. And it ought to cause us profound thanksgiving and celebration at what he has done in behalf of poor, miserable sinners such as we are. Paul was a wonderful communicant of that revelation of the Lord Jesus. He saw him face to face on the Damascus Road. He knows how great he is. And in his writings, he is attempting to portray to us in words what he has seen with his very eyes. And we must recognize that as we search the Scriptures, it is not just to gain information. It is not just to become scholarly in our understanding of Scripture. It is instead to see a person, to recognize in the Lord Jesus who he is, how great he is, and how loving he is to sacrifice himself for us. That is what we are looking for in Scripture, that we might become more aligned with his purpose, that our lives might reflect in our daily conduct the fact that we have seen him. No, not on the Damascus Road, but we have seen him in Scripture. And we know how great he is because he has touched our hearts and changed us and made us into a different person. We have a full knowledge of His loving kindness. We must recognize that that is not granted to us just so that we could sit back and take satisfaction in what we have learned. No, it is something that is a sacred trust. We must help others see that full knowledge. We must bring others to the knowledge of the Son of God. That marvelous revelation is the salvation of all who will believe. Every one of us can think of people who need to believe. They have not yet. We must make that a matter of prayer and testimony, that they too come to this full knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. In chapter 4 of Ephesians and verse 13, Paul is speaking about that perfecting work of the ministry for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the full knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. Now, this is a marvelous statement. What he is telling us is that Scripture is given, and the apostles and prophets wrote this sacred book so that we might be perfected, so that we might come to this full knowledge of Christ. The Scripture wasn't given just to give us ancient history about what the ancient Israelites did and what the apostles did and so on. All that is a subsidiary theme. What Scripture is about is God. And the revelation is of the great Son who came to earth to redeem His people and to bring us to glory. That is the message of Scripture. And we need that full knowledge of Him that comes from a proper study of God's holy word. We need the illumination of the Spirit of God that we may understand Christ in His majesty, in His marvelous compassion for us. And it should transform us. Knowledge is never given to us that we might be puffed up and proud of what we know. The knowledge is given to us so that we might, in humility, bow before the One whom we know in a fuller way and glorify Him for who He is, because we've perceived a little more in Scripture of how great He is and how much He has done in behalf of us. Full knowledge is not a matter of intellectual congratulation. Full knowledge of Christ is a matter of greater humility and greater worship of His greatness and His love and His eternal compassion. In verse 15, speaking the truth in love, may grow up into Him in all things, who is the head, even Christ. Yes, we need to grow up. We need to mature, spiritually speaking, that we might understand Him better, that we might be better servants for Him, that we might be more understanding of His infinite love, His infinite compassion, and His desire to see others come to faith in Him. That full knowledge should make us mature believers. Unfortunately, in some churches, knowledge just leads to a happy, happy, happy kind of froth. And it is not a sanctified testimony. It is not a heartfelt witness of the full knowledge of Christ. In Philippians chapter 1 and verse 9, Paul says, "And this I pray, that your love may abound yet more and more in full knowledge and in all judgment, that ye may approve things that are excellent, that ye may be sincere and without offense till the day of Christ, being filled with the fruits of righteousness which are by Jesus Christ unto the glory and praise of God. Yes, full knowledge. Paul prayed that we might make spiritual progress. Paul prayed that we would come to a more profound knowledge, and through this be better equipped to serve others. Be filled with the fruits of righteousness, not just a bare minimum, filled with it, because that's what the full knowledge will do. It will cause a full prospering of spiritual outreach and blessing flowing over into the lives of others. And that's what Christianity is all about. It is not a matter of becoming scholarly, just filled with book knowledge. It is a full knowledge of Christ that sends us out to reach others and share with them that knowledge of Christ, the loving Savior, the one who died that I might live forever. Every saint can have that testimony. If you've met the Lord Jesus and you understand what He has done for you, you can share that with others. It's a knowledge that is contagious. It needs to spread by the grace of God. In verse 11, the fruits of righteousness. Knowledge is never something that is just shut up in the heart or shut up in the brain. The knowledge of God is always something that bears fruit. There's something there that is living. It's in our life that creates a living faith, a living testimony. It's something that can be shared with others, that life may extend to them. That full knowledge is a powerful thing. It can change lives and hearts. It can transform people. It can make them into different kinds of beings. Instead of selfish, self-centered individuals, they reach out to others. Why? Because they have a full knowledge that tells them what Jesus did and why He did it and why we need to reach others with that message. Full knowledge does not make us savants, walled up in an ivory castle where we can just study and not think of others. The full knowledge of Christ always brings us out. Always brings us out to reach others with that knowledge that we must share. It's a knowledge so great, so precious, so valuable that others must know about it. A knowledge that we shall always treasure. In Colossians 1:9, Paul prayed, "For this cause we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you, and to desire that ye might be filled with the full knowledge of His will, in all wisdom and spiritual understanding." Now, Paul is not praying that believers, that we, should come to just a bare minimum of understanding of Christ. He's not praying that we just get saved and make it to heaven. He's praying here that we might be filled with the full knowledge. Knowledge that is so full it spills over. It runs over to others. That's what he's praying for. And that's what all of us should manifest. What we learn in Scripture is not just precious information we can hide and catalog for ourselves. It is something we need to share. It is something that naturally belongs to everyone. And we must recognize that through the power of the Spirit of God, who gives us that perception that the knowledge is there not to hoard, but to share. In verse 10, "That ye might walk worthy of the Lord, unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work, and increasing in the full knowledge of God, strengthened with all might, according to His glorious power, with all patience and long-suffering and joyfulness. Yes, it's a different kind of life He's talking about. That full knowledge transforms. It's not something that just makes you intellectually wiser. It is something that makes you a different kind of person. You go out now with a full knowledge of wisdom and understanding, something that can help others to see the Lord Jesus and who He is and what He has done for you. Paul writes these words so that our lives may be different. He's not just imparting a hidden gnosis that we might be like the Gnostics of the ancient world, meditating on knowledge and of no earthly good to anyone. No, we need to take that knowledge, precious as it is, and share those treasures with others. Help them to come to that full knowledge of the Son of God, that they might in turn share it with others. It goes on and on, spilling over into the hearts of others by the power of the Spirit of God, who is imparting that knowledge inside. Plainly, our walk should be different because of that knowledge. It is not that we just become wiser and more understanding of Scripture. Hopefully that will result too. But that knowledge should cause us to reach out to others. The knowledge needs to be shared. The knowledge of the Son of God is such a precious thing. Others need to learn it. Others need to find out what it did to us and why we are different. It's a knowledge that should run over, spill over into the lives of everyone around us, a knowledge that can be shared. In 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 3, "For this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior, who will have all men to be saved and to come to the full knowledge of the truth. For there is one God, and one mediator between God and men, the man, Christ Jesus." Yes, God saw that it was good to impart to His people full knowledge. And His will is that He desires, He wants all men to be saved and to come to the full knowledge of the truth. God does not hide knowledge. He's prepared to share it. But men turn away from the knowledge of God. They turn to the knowledge of things. How to make money. How to accomplish this and that and the other. They're specialists in certain fields. The knowledge of God is not important. It doesn't make money. Friends, we've got to realize we live in the midst of a hostile world that is basically anti-Christian. The knowledge of the world is something that is centered on things. I oftentimes run across little-known facts. I ran across an entomologist. He's a person who studies insects. And this person was world famous because he had classified thousands of insects that no one else had found. Isn't that wonderful? To find bed bugs that no one has seen before. Now, friends, the world has its own goals. And it rewards its own with fame, popularity, and what have you. But we have a knowledge that is of eternal value. A knowledge of God. A knowledge of the Trinity. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, a God who wants us to share His love, who wants us to be a part of His family forever. That is full knowledge. That is something that the world cannot counterfeit. It is a staggering idea. But that precious knowledge is entrusted to us not that we might hoard it, but that so we might share it. Full knowledge of God. In 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 7, Paul speaks of people who have a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof. They're ever learning and never able to come to the full knowledge of the truth. The world is filled with these people, scholars by anybody's standard. They're ever learning, studying, learning more about this, that, and the other, but never coming to the full knowledge of the truth. What a sad thing to fill a life full of scholarly endeavor, learning everything, and never coming to the knowledge of the truth. What a desolating thought that is. Now, friends, that tells us something about our personal application to Scripture. For every one of us need to be searching the Scriptures that we might come to this full knowledge that he's speaking of. Searching the Scriptures so that our lives are filled with the precious truths of God's Word, so that we can think of them when we talk to people. We can think of them when the temptations come. We can think of them when the crises arise and we're faced with solemn responsibilities. My friends, we need that full knowledge, not just in our heads, but in our hearts. Treasured there, applied to life, used day by day in our common associations with people. For that's why it's given. It's not given to make us scholars walled up in an ivory tower somewhere. It's given to us that we may share it with others and help them see that full knowledge of God. What a precious privilege. But there are false teachers all over in the world who tell us other knowledge is important. Other knowledge is what we should be engaged in. And the knowledge of God is not important. Friends, let's recognize what Paul has said through these. When they deny the full knowledge of God, they're simply demonstrating that they have never experienced the power of the full knowledge of God. The power to transform, the power to elevate our thoughts and our lives, the power to equip our service and ministry, the power to accomplish God's will in this world. The full knowledge of God. It doesn't belong in an ivory tower. It belongs in the hearts and minds of every born-again believer. Knowledge that makes them into a different kind of person. A person who can see another realm, a kingdom in another world, where God, who knows all, manifests himself in glory to his people. And the saints who are there can see him face to face and come to a full knowledge that we cannot hear. Friends, the full knowledge of God is what we're here for. It's not merely intellectual study. It's the experience of the love of God. It's meditating upon his precious word and letting that knowledge make us something better than we are. And we need that desperately. The full knowledge of God is given in Christ, in his precious word. And as we study it, as we fill our hearts and minds with this blessed book, that knowledge is conforming us to the image that we have seen in Scripture. And it begins to shine out through us to others. The full knowledge of God is an absolute necessary element of our lives. In 2 Timothy 3:16, all Scripture is God-breathed and is profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, for child training in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly equipped unto every good work. My friends, the full knowledge of God is a treasure, but it's right here in this book. This is where it comes from. It doesn't come from mystical meditations. It doesn't come from reading in the history of religions. It comes from God's holy word. It transforms. It makes us what we should be. The full knowledge of God makes us like Christ, a son of the Father. Every head bowed, every eye closed. In this quiet moment, have you hidden in your heart God's holy word to transform you? Do you every day open up this precious book and let the light of the word shine into your inmost soul to transform you into something you should be? If you've been skipping the reading of Scripture and the meditation upon His Word, would you in your heart devote yourself to Him and ask Him to impart to you the full knowledge of God in His holy word? And will you vow to read it and meditate on it and let it transform you into the image of Christ? O Lord, forgive us that we don't study Thy word as we should. Forgive us that we work on so many different things, filling our minds with so much, but not of Thee. Forgive us, and help us by Thy grace, that we may drink deep at the springs of eternal life in this book, that we may fill our minds and hearts with this blessed word. Transform us by that, Lord, by that full knowledge of Thy person. Make us into servants that Thou canst use. Hear us, for Jesus' sake. Amen.